Chapter 3. Erwin. I had offered to carry the werewolf emissary, who told me his name was Brast, but as we left the castle grounds behind, he shook his furry head.
I prefer to run,
Brast told me, so I flew high overhead as he raced along the dark, tree-covered land of Constanta on all fours. The werewolf's speed surprised me, as he managed to stay underneath me for a while as I soared through the dark, starlit sky. It was even more impressive because I only had my pack and my bow strapped to my back to weigh me down. Eventually, though, he began to trail behind. It was a good thing I knew my maps well, because I would barely have seen them in the dark. Brass knew the way just as well as I did, and every so often I glanced back below me and saw his silhouette racing along the ground, changing direction slightly as he angled his way toward the southern gate of the kingdom. In no time, we made it to the Constantin Wall. I flew straight over and off into the wildlands to scout ahead, while Brast made his way through the two gates and down the tunnel to leave Constanta. Much of the sleeping world was quiet, and I saw no signs of any monsters lurking outside the walls. It was all thanks to Kristoff that our lands were now peaceful. It felt like a lifetime ago, but really? It had only been a few weeks since the Great Battle, since Kristoff had turned all the zombies to ash, and since we had defeated the horrifying demons that had spewed into our lands. We knew there were still zombies in the world, that Kristoff's power had only defeated the ones in and around Constanta, but none of us thought about having to face them again so soon. It stood to reason that eventually zombies might wander back into our lands. Still, it seemed like some far-off nightmare, one that we could better prepare for if it ever happened again. But now we had decided to leave our kingdom's safety to seek out the undead. The decision had been tough, and I understood Rachel and Onyx's protests, but going to help was the right thing to do. Suppose we hadn't received aid from the East in our greatest time of need, as an army of human and supernatural zombies flooded our home, and then a mass of demons. None of us would be alive. The smart thing to do with the zombies out of our kingdom and most of the hordes in the East destroyed was to seek out and kill any more zombies in the world. Maybe we could actually slay them all and make a better world for everyone, one where we didn't need walls. Now that Constanta was safe, at least for the foreseeable future, we had the ability and resources to help other kingdoms. It was our duty, and Rosmarin, as queen, fully understood that. I think she also understood what Queen Sophia must be feeling better than any of us, as she came to terms with the threat lurking on her borders. Rosmarin had been feeling that same threat for the last few months, and if it hadn't been for Kristoff's arrival at the castle, I feared she might have succumbed to all the pressure. Yes, she always had the council at her side, and now Kristoff, and we were always willing to do whatever we needed for each other. We shared that unbreakable bond that had only gotten stronger over the years. But sometimes, there's only so much someone can take, even someone as strong as Rosmarin. As I soared through the night, with the cold wind whipping against my face, I sighed, and it was a grateful sigh of relief. We had been through so much, but we had triumphed, even against all the odds. I suspected that's part of why Sophia had summoned us, but I grew anxious even as I continued the flight south. Increasing hordes of zombies were troubling news enough, but why were lichlings now roaming around the southern kingdoms? I knew my history, and no one had seen or heard of lichlings for thousands of years, at least not on our continent. Many people thought they were simply part of myths, and even though I knew they were wrong, I was happy to have it that way. If lichlings were really tormenting Nahuatl, I wasn't looking forward to fighting off such creatures. Brast still ran below me, and he showed no signs of slowing, even after running for such a long distance. I could see for miles around from my place overhead, even with only the stars to light my way. Flying across open lands was one of my favorite experiences ever, with the wind pushing back my red hair and the feel of the breeze soaring through my translucent wings. It was exhilarating, and when I was out exploring, I felt like it was the one thing I was truly meant to do. As I watched Brass below me, I wondered if he felt the same way. This werewolf was built for speed and running, and even when he had the offer of a smooth journey from the skies, he still preferred his own methods of travel. But I wondered how long and how far he could really run. He had already been trailing behind considerably, and I knew he wanted to get back home as fast as possible. A giant black mass appeared on the horizon, and for one maddening moment, I thought it was a horde of zombies. My mind flashed back to the day the zombies had broken through the Constantin Wall. In horror, I had watched the waves of rotting bodies flood into the kingdom and annihilate everything in their path. I couldn't remember a time I had felt so utterly and completely petrified, even as I stood with my friends, one of them being Onyx, the Doombringer. But eventually, after far too many deaths and damage, we had won. I let that feeling of triumph fill me, and as the worry rippled out of me, replaced by a clear head, I realized I was looking at the edge of a forest. The Carwyn Forest. I had been to this wood a few times before, and knew it to be a magical place, but also a tangled mass of dense trees, especially deep in its heart. So I swooped down and flew alongside Brast as he sprinted along. "Brast, the forest is up ahead. Let me carry you over it," I shouted as the wind rushed past us. He continued running, with me soaring next to him until he saw the black forest looming ahead, and then he gave me a nod. I wrapped my arms around his back and picked up the werewolf, then ascended back into the sky. Soon, we were soaring over the dark canopy of trees. Even though Brass still probably wished he was on the ground, I felt his racing heartbeat and panting body as he tried to steady his breath. Something about his urgency made me wonder how bad things really were in Nahuatl. He had run all the way to Constanta, and even when we gave him the offer to rest a night, he declined. Either Brass was far more than just a dutiful messenger, or things were far worse than we thought. We flew through the dark, moonless night, and as we neared the southern edge of the forest, the first hints of day lit the sky up so that it looked like a painting of pinks and purples.
"There's a village just at the southern end of the tree line,"
Brass called to me through the wind.
"We should rest there."
I assumed the werewolf might drift off to sleep as I carried him, but he had stayed awake and alert for our entire journey over the Carwyn Forest. I agreed, now exhausted and sore from carrying the werewolf. So, as I saw the open land spreading out ahead of us, I slowly descended over the treetops and landed in a grassy field just beyond the forest. Nearby was the path that led out of the forest, and further south, but just beyond that, were tall wooden walls.
"That's Trouble Village,"
Brast informed me as we walked toward the little town. "I've never even heard of it," I admitted, even though I prided myself on my knowledge of the world.
"They keep to themselves. Honestly, the villagers don't really see too many outsiders, except for the few brave souls who travel along this road."
He pointed a furry paw toward the road we had just crossed over. "Did you stop here on your way north?" I asked.
"Yes, just for a few hours' rest. They have an inn, and even though they don't really like supernaturals, they still were hospitable enough."
I wondered how this little secluded village had managed to survive on their own for so long. Nothing else existed for miles around, and the only protection they had beside the forest was their wooden wall. It wasn't entirely unheard of to find small villages or settlements that existed on their own, even with the hordes of zombies wandering the wilds. Still, it was much safer to live in bigger cities, with more people and protection. While their wooden wall had managed to do the job of protecting the people well enough, it still seemed dangerous to me. As we neared the gate, a voice called down to us,
"Who approaches?"
A human guard yelled from atop the wall.
"I am Brass from Nahuatl, and this is Erwin from Constanta."
The werewolf called back.
"I passed through here only a few days ago. We are traveling back south and are looking for a place to rest, only for a few hours."
The guard grumbled, but the gate opened, and Brast led me into the village. It was a quaint place, with wooden buildings and a little stone path that led back through the houses. Humans went about their daily tasks, and as Brast led me to the inn, I noticed their narrowed eyes, mostly at the werewolf. I saw eyes on me, too, but they seemed more curious than anything else. "Do any supernatural people live here?" I mumbled to Brast.
"None that I've seen. They hate werewolves, I'm pretty sure."
He shrugged, as though it didn't bother him much.
"They seem to have at least a mild interest in you, though. I guess they prefer the pretty supernaturals."
That seemed to be a common occurrence with humans who had little interaction with supernatural beings. Vampires, werewolves, and wraiths were among the races that isolated humans seemed to have the most trouble with. Between their fantasy stories of old and the frequently menacing appearances of these supernaturals, humans were often afraid of them, even if they posed no threats. But races like elves and fairies seemed nicer and kinder, and perhaps were more liked because of their similar appearance to humans. Even after the infection had spread throughout the modern human world, and supernaturals had come out of the shadows and revealed that we were just like humans with our own hopes, dreams, families, and failures, and even after all the races had banded together against the zombies, some humans could never shake their fear of us. That fear of the creatures that used to hide in the shadows passed down through human generations until even now, enclaves of isolated humans existed that feared supernaturals. I had heard of many of these places, but this was the first time I ever set foot in one. Even the humans in the West Village still interacted with supernaturals that lived among them. When we arrived at the inn, a man with a giant mustache greeted Brast and remembered having seen him only a few days before. He seemed kind enough to the werewolf and offered him his same room as before, and then the man led me to my room. I shrugged off my pack and bow and stretched out my tired arms and wings. I undressed, eagerly climbed into the bed, and fell asleep right away. I awoke to a knock at my door, and as I groggily opened my eyes, I saw Brast's furry head peek in.
"There's food for us outside. Come out when you're ready,"
Brast told me. As I yawned and sat up in bed, he closed the door, leaving me to stretch and rub out all the soreness from carrying Brast over the forest. I guessed it was maybe around midday now, and so we had probably only had 6 or so hours of sleep. That was good enough for me, and probably too much for the eager Brast who was ready to be back home. I got dressed, grabbed my things, and then made my way outside to the tables in front of the inn. Brast sat and munched on some food the innkeeper had generously provided, so I sat next to him. As I grabbed a piece of bread, I pulled out one of my maps and spread that map out before me. I drew my finger down along the planned route, tracking the next part of our journey. At the rate we were going, it would probably only take us a couple more days to reach Nahuatl, especially if Brast let me carry him more.
"Are you ready?"
Brast asked me as I finished up my bread. "I am, but are you not exhausted?" I questioned the werewolf.
"Maybe a little, but this is my job. Plus, I'll have plenty of time to rest when we get to Nahuatl."
He flashed a smile at me, and I laughed. We thanked the innkeeper and made our way back to the village gates. As the guards opened the wooden doors for us, I heard one of them mumble, "Good riddance," and when we were on the other side, the gates slammed shut behind us, and we were back into the wilds.
"Friendly, aren't they?"
Brast grimaced as he gave the village one last look. I gave Brast a curt nod, and he took off at his breakneck pace. I marveled at how quickly he zoomed across the grassy field, and soon I was in the air with the wind rushing past me and the bright sun illuminating the land for miles around me. As we traveled further south, the grasses changed from greens to browns, and then to a rocky, dusty desert. The sun-baked land looked shriveled from my height, but as the land changed further, there was a serene beauty in the surrounding landscape. Everything felt rugged and wild, and soon I noticed black masses over different parts of the land. Zombies. And lots of them. They roamed freely and aimlessly, unless Brass got too close to a group, and then they turned and lumbered after him. I swung my bow around and loosed arrows down into the group, but he was quicker than them anyway, and was unfazed by the creatures. After traveling another few hours and watching Brass dodge the masses of zombies that looked like black moving blobs from the sky, I swung back down and picked him up without even asking. The werewolf didn't complain, but he gave a dramatic sigh that he soon cut short when he saw the hordes for himself. We were now traveling through a brown valley with mountain ranges rising on either side, and we could see almost the entire valley filled with an army of the undead. Even from our height in the sky, we could tell that not all of those hobbling figures were just zombies. The noticeable white, bony bodies of skeletons were easy to see.
Lichlings, I breathed.
Brass was still silent, but he nodded his head as we flew over the army. I decided to carry the werewolf the rest of the way. Not only was it faster to fly, but the land that was now shifting from browns back to greens was far too dangerous for him to travel on foot. The hot sun sank toward the horizon on our left, and soon Brass and I were soaring through the starlit sky again. After another few hours, I felt him stirring beneath me. He pointed a paw in front of him, toward the emerging silhouette of the Nahuatl wall.
We made it!
He shouted, and soon we flew over the wall and sailed over the vast city of Nahuatl toward the castle.